Everyone, welcome back to Silent Podcast, where we're anything but silent. Yes, we're finally back. Sorry, everyone, to cover Never Have I Ever episodes 6 and 7. I am one of your hosts, Sasha Joseph, joined, of course, with my co-host, Chappelle. Welcome. We have a lot to get to.
We have a lot to discuss, but we back, and yes. I could apologize about us taking a while to get to y'all, but y'all know what time it is now. Y'all know what time it is. We making our way.
Yeah, it's just, it is what it is, y'all. And it's not that you haven't heard us on other podcasts together and on other podcasts separately, because we've been in these streets these past 2 weeks, okay? But we made it happen, everyone.
Yes, and thank y'all for listening, and thank y'all for subscribing to Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast. If you want more of me and Sasha, go subscribe to the RHIP Bravo feed and listen to us talk about Below Deck. Even if you've never seen the show, trust me, it's just as messy, if not messier, than the content we have here for you on Never Have I Ever by Silent Podcast, so go check us out.
Yes, please. So make sure if you're listening to us on the main feed, go over and hit that download on the Never Have I Ever feed as well. And, you know, as a goodbye present, we'd appreciate if we get some 5-star reviews. We're at 21 reviews. Maybe we could get to 30. Help us out. I appreciate it. Okay. And I just love that it said I'm suing. They did Mojo Post 73 did amend to say I'm suing eventually. So
oh, yes.
I appreciate you for being on.
Right, because look, we're not going to do sex lies of college girls. Make sure you address your lawsuit to Silent Podcast directly.
Correct.
Yeah, I can give you 8 Ball Bangers is his name. Go ahead and reach out directly to him and let him know that you are not happy and that you demand more Sasha and Chappelle coverage.
Yes, please. Okay, help us out. I love it. But with that, Chappelle, how are we feeling about these two episodes? Because I think this is where we've picked up. We've made a lot of moves. Never Have I Ever said we have a lot to finish. And this is, I think, that like tipping point.
Right. And they took their foot off our necks a little bit on this episode.
Yes. Thank God.
Yeah. You know, because I think for a minute, this season started off so intense for me. I legit was in hell the first couple episodes. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are we doing here? And now it's kind of leveled out a bit. You know, we see some moments of, you know, of turmoil for Davey. We see, you know, we even get a Paxton episode right here, too.
Yes. But,
you know, it could have been so much worse. Around episode 6, I think last time, well, around season 2, episode 6, I think that's when Anissa had her eating, disordered eating or whatever situation with Davey. That was a lot, y'all. And so this was Davey figuring out that maybe she should be mature, you know, and then Paxton even dealing with his maturity. I think that might have been a theme for both of these episodes.
Yes. And we, you know, got a wrap up of Davey and Paxton, which we'll get into. Like, I don't want to just start with that, but my God, right? I have so many feelings about it, so many feelings about Paxton and Eric. And I did have a breakthrough as well about that episode that I'm not as low on it anymore, or I'm not as low on. So I'm excited to get into it because, like I said, time away from this season has really helped me. And I think we've said it multiple times, has really helped me appreciate the show.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm glad we watched it. Never Have Ever is always going to be a show that I can go back and rewatch because it's so easy to watch. And so rewatching this again, I was just like, yeah, I like it. I still like this show. It's going to be one of my favorites for a very long time.
Agreed.
But Sasha, I do have to ask. Yes. This episode is called Never Have I Ever Had My Dream Stolen. Have you ever had your dream stolen? Your dreams of being a track star?
No. Maybe when I was younger and like I could actually participate. I think when I moved to America, everyone was just faster than me. Like and not race specific, like literally just vibes only. Everyone, even the other Indian girl. So it is what it is. But in India, yeah, I think like when I think dreams were a little bit more. Yeah, a little bit more and bigger and whatever versus I think. I'm grateful and I'm learning this. This is a side note, but you and I have talked about this. I feel like I'm a manifester when it comes to like human-centered design. So I do have a lot of stuff that I put out in the world come back to me. I'll just say that. So yes and no. What about you?
I don't know if I've ever had my dream stolen. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a person who I can see other people doing stuff and know that mm-hmm. I can do it better than them. And so sometimes I'd be like, wow, you really just stole my life. I'm looking at you, Ryan Seacrest. But, you know, I think there are other times where I think the second episode is called Never Have I Ever Had an Identity Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something I relate to a little bit more. It's
where, yeah.
I don't feel like my dream is stolen. I just think that maybe the way I thought my life was going to go is going differently. And now I need to figure out what that means for me, right? And, you know, you find yourself in transitional periods where you think, this is the thing I'm supposed to do. This is the role I'm supposed to play. This is mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to be. Only to realize that, you know, you still got time to do other stuff. And that, you know, your dream isn't being stolen. You're not having an identity crisis. You just are in a point of your life where you're pivoting, you know, or you're moving.
Yes.
So I can relate to a little bit of this.
Agreed. And I think what's really beautiful about growing up, and which we see a lot from Davey as well, is that there's this piece or this common thread of sometimes we have to move and we're gonna move differently and things are gonna feel weird. And that's okay. And I think even like now, for us, I mean, it's just that I feel like that's life. And it's crazy to think about, like, if I write a letter to myself all those years ago, I think I just write like, just make all of the decisions you're making. I think we'll be fine. Don't stress out too much.
Yeah. We sometimes need somebody to come in and just remind us and ground mm-hmm. us in moments. And we see that from Nelani in these episodes, but we also see that from Paxton in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, Eric is giving us words of wisdom here. It's weird that it's coming from these, like, in these particular moments, but it's definitely necessary. And I think a lot of people can relate to exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, 100%. But with that, I think let's get into it, Chappelle. Never Have I Ever, episode 6, Had My Dream Stolen. So it starts with Davey growing anxious about early acceptance letters because they're going to drop at 4 p.m. that day. Here's the thing, Chappelle. I think before this episode even started, the first watch, I think I knew that Fabiola's chances were so much exponentially higher than Davey's at this point.
See, and I don't think the show does a good job of depicting that. I think the show gives us, like, Davey's at the top of her class, Ben's at the mm-hmm. top of her class, Fabiola's probably really, really smart as well, but they don't give us a lot of reasons why this wouldn't work out for Davey. They try to give us a quick montage of,
okay,
remember that time she got suspended for what she did with Anissa, mm-hmm. or remember that time she didn't get that recommendation letter, or remember that time, you know, she, you know, just little stuff like that, like, what happened to Davey, and for us, we've seen Davey go through so much where, like, that's just little, you know, like that, yes, that's a thing that happened, but it doesn't define Davey. But the show tries to make it seem like, no, we have reason to be concerned. And mm-hmm. I think that's why the first time I watched this episode, I was so shocked because I was thinking, there's no way Davey isn't a shoe-in for Princeton. I mean, she hasn't gotten a bad grade ever.
Yeah, 100%. For,
you know, basically this season is the first time she really just falls off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was kind of confused, but if it's a competition, if the idea is that only one person is getting in from the school and it's either Fab or Davey, yeah, I guess there's a non-zero chance that it would just be Fabiola.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah, I was just moving toward that, like, I think Fabiola's getting in. We, I guess, needed more frustration when it comes to Davey. So it is what it is. Here we effing are. I'm still annoyed by it because, like I said, I don't think it's fair to downplay Fabiola's smart and geniusness, which is what even you're saying with not really seeing her. But mm-hmm. It's frustrating. I don't appreciate it, but it is what it is. Nelani is also trying to be supportive of Davey. And she's like, you know, in case you don't get in. And before she even gets that out, I mean, it's like volcano time.
Right. And I guess this is relatable. Sometimes you just want people to lament with you and to feel like,
yes,
you know, like if this shit sucks, let me say it. And then you say, yeah, it does. And that people are stupid. They're like, yes, they're dumb. And mm-hmm. then if I want to later on come back and be like, but I'm dumb too. You're like, yes, you are. And you can meet me there as well. But sometimes you just want people to feel that emotion. And I think Davey just wanted to feel supportive. And Nelani is still trying to protect her. And it's like, at some point, Davey grown. You got to let her, you know, deal with life, but she'll always want your support as a parent.
Yeah. And I think there's a way, again, teenagers are going to teenage. And mm-hmm. I think these teenagers that are so high strung, I think mm-hmm. it's going to, they're going to be even worse when it comes to this, because they're going to check anything, right, that you say. They're going to mm-hmm. be like, oh, you mean I'm stupid. Got it. Like, that's what you meant. So I am very much the person that wants people to lament with me, because I think I usually know the answer. I just don't want to go there yet. Mm-hmm. So I think there is some disconnect, and we'll get to it later, but I'm just confused why Davey's going through so much alone. I think I'll just, that's my like overarching question for all of this, like especially with the college stuff.
Yeah, I think it just feels like everybody knows that this is something Davey could take in stride. Mm-hmm. And Davey has already gone to level 10, right? So for Davey, okay. not getting early admissions is the end of the road. You know, later on, mm-hmm. we'll hear Ben say, that's for Gen Pop. And Davey's like, yeah, exactly. It's for general, like, population. I am exceptional. I'm supposed to be, like, the first round draft pick. And if I'm not, yep. then that means I've done something wrong. And everybody else is like, but it's fine. Life will go on. And Davey is just in a wind tunnel where she doesn't hear that. The only person who honestly would understand is Ben. And yeah. they're not really on speaking terms for the most part.
Exactly. So it is what it is right now. I think we're gonna leave her, you know, to see, does she get in? Obviously not. Mm-hmm. And then at school, of course, Ben says, listen, from some connection that I have, I realize that the admissions officer, because Ben's mother's friend, one of basically her friends, has revealed that someone from Sherman Oaks has gotten into Princeton. So, you know, good luck and good job and congratulations. Davey's like, yeah, obviously it's me. I'm in. Great. Thank you, Ben. Love you again. But then Davey opens it because it's 4 p.m. and Davey figures out that she has been deferred.
Yeah, she's been deferred and Fab got in. And this is the, as Fabiola would call it, this is the worst case scenario. At least for mm-hmm. Fab, it is, right? Because at some point she has to reveal to Davey that that is the case, right? She's going to hear from Davey that she didn't get in. And I wonder if when Fabiola sees her letter, she automatically knows that only one of us probably got chosen and it's her.
Yeah, because I think that's, they had said that multiple times, at least the last two episodes, right? Only one person's going to get in from each school, especially for Princeton, blah, blah, blah. That's how it is. So I think Fab knew, and Fab probably almost wanted Princeton to pick between mm-hmm. them and maybe not her, so that she could be like, well, shrugs, I tried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is what it is. I think that we have not really seen currently a reason for Davey wanting to go to Princeton. And the reason isn't necessarily academic. It's emotional. So I don't know that that's fair to get in the way of Fabiola.
Do you feel like Fabiola stole Davey's spot? Like, do you feel like, look, is there a world where if Fabiola doesn't apply, they automatically gonna pick Davey? Or is there a world where they just pick nobody?
Yeah, I think Akshara just wasn't impressed by Davey. I think, unfortunately, Davey and Ben were one of, you know, same, like one of thousands. Probably, mm-hmm. you know, those like folks that were like, oh, I've done all the AP classes, right? Like what the cookie cutter overachiever. Mm-hmm. Nothing felt, and this is mean to say, but academically, nothing felt feel special about them.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you did all, you got straight A's. Okay. That's what people who want to be overachievers in high school do. They get straight A's, right?
That's
the
minimum.
Right. You've done extracurriculars. You did Model UN, all that stuff. But we get it. You're a nerd. That's what you're going to do, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some blind spots. Like, we both know that neither one of them have any artistic, you know, interests, except Davey plays the harp. Which yeah. She don't even like playing the harp. And then, you know, I feel like she doesn't. She's probably well-rounded academically. She's probably fine. But at the same time, it's like, if Fabiola could come in and take your spot without trying, then maybe the spot wasn't for you in the first place.
Exactly. And maybe Princeton was looking for more STEM women mm-hmm. of color, right? Like, that is a very specific target. That even, I mean, my husband's an engineer. Like, they talk about all the time to have more women of color on their teams. This is, like, a normal, not, I don't have normal. This is the new normal, rather, mm-hmm. Where folks are realizing where they're lacking. And I think if that is, if you're a minority that's not Asian, honestly, you are highly likely to get into these spots way more than maybe others, like school-wise at least. I don't know about actual jobs.
Right. And we don't even know what Davy Major is. So what exactly. You know, we have no reason to really feel the hurt like Davy's feeling it. And I think maybe that's why she's going through this alone. Everybody's like, Davy, girl, you don't even know why you want to go to Princeton. Mm-hmm. We just know you want it. And so we can't really feel bad for you because no one has told you no yet. They just told you to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Davy doesn't do well with that.
No, of course not. And Davy, of course, tells her mom that, listen, I didn't get in. And I think Nalini was trying to say, like, it's okay. I was just trying to prep you for this. And that equals, in Davy's mind, oh, you just, like, don't want me. You don't think I'm smart. You think, like, I suck. Blah, blah, blah. You doubt my potential, basically. And I think that's what now sets Davy on a whole nother path. Because her and her mom have been working together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have been had a better relationship, working on their situation. And this, again, I was like, oh my God. Like, I hope this isn't at episode 6 out of 10. This is going to be the future.
Right. Right. It's probably difficult for Davy too, because this is the one thing she's never had to struggle with before. Mm-hmm. Nalini's never had to support her academically. This is, yep. Davy, you tell Davy go to school, she got it. That is her thing. So for here, somebody be like, it's your thing, but it's not quite good enough to be, you mm-hmm. know, number one. Yeah, this hurts. And I don't think Nalini knows how to be there for Davy in that moment. Because I think a normal response is, you know, life will go on. It'll be okay. You can wait. It'll be fine. Like, you know, like, don't, you know, temper your expectations. You can't get everything you want. Like, those are realistic things mm-hmm. to talk about with somebody. But you're talking to somebody who does not have realistic expectation for themselves in general, right? So she's not going to understand a realistic response. She wants you to go with her, which is, mom, you know me, I'm a badass at this thing, and we deserve better, and that school must suck if they don't want me. And that's what she wanted Nalini to say, and it just took Nalini a while to get there.
Yeah. No notes. Agreed 100%. And again, I see Nalini's point, right? Like, I'm not so far away from understanding Nalini as we have been, I think, in the past, where it's been like, you're a little bit out of line, like, be there for your child. Mm-hmm. I think she says it's okay for failure, but when you raise a kid that is so high achieving, then these are the pitfalls of raising that kid who's just good at everything. But of course, Chappelle, with all of this mess, our girl Kamala comes just in time.
This Kamala storyline is so frustrating for me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated by this. This just, it doesn't do anything for me, because first of all, the Lynn and Patti stuff aside,
mm-hmm.
Kamala, when did you get a mentor? Well, we haven't heard nothing about this lady's career since she was playing karaoke with the nerds.
Exactly.
Where did this come from? All of a sudden, her mentor, who we know that she's obsessed with, is leaving to go to John Hopkins, and she's asking Kamala to come with her. Like, Kamala, when did this become a thing? It just caught me off guard completely.
And what are you doing with your life, right? Like, are you still in research? Do you have a full-time job in addition to working in the lab? Like, what's going on? Or is the lab your full-time job? Like, what's going on? Which we found, I feel like, to be very exciting and different, is like to get that storyline of her, like, really trying to figure out what it means to be a woman in STEM. So I am very frustrated that they have reduced Kamala down to a side hijinks character.
It's weird because we don't even, like you said, we don't even know what she's even been doing. So when she's offered a position here in this scene to mm-hmm. go to Johns Hopkins to go be with her mentor and do apparently the work that she's, like, her passion.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking, well, what are you even doing right now? What do you have going on? And so we know nothing. We got nothing, you know.
Go ahead. Give us nothing.
Yeah. I'm like, well, go. Girl, what you waiting on? And then, of course, we see why she's not waiting on, like you said, hijinks.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's all it was, which I don't think that's this character. It could be almost Davy would be the one making mm-hmm. assumptions, jumping to nonsense conclusions, like moving crazy. That's Davy.
Yeah, and there's moments where I think this would go in the Davy realm, where Kamala comes home and she slams the door because she's mad. Mm-hmm. She's like, we need to talk. You know, those moments, I'm like, okay, this is some Davy stuff right here. Right? But,
yeah.
But she at least has the maturity to say, okay, let's have a conversation about this this Lynn thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just the lack of interest in the professional storyline. When we've come to see her kind of coming into her own, we saw her get her own apartment, we've seen her dating, we've seen her navigating the business world, I mean the corporate world and the STEM world.
Yeah,
we saw all that just to get to like, but now she's really concerned about her grandmother being with a gold digger, you know, and so we got to spend time with Lynn and Patty.
Mm-hmm. Because Patty's talking about, listen, we're going to Palm Springs. We're going to be getting, you know, nice like hotel. Listen, been there, same, live that life, queen. And she's also going to be ordering a bunch of gifts for Len. And yeah, I think currently as it is presented, it does feel a little sugar mama type.
Yeah, Lynn even calls her his sugar mama at some point, like as a joke, but it's kind of like, ha ha, Lynn, what you trying to get at? Because Kamala asks him, I think she says, she's like, so I hope you bought Patty something.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks directly at Kamala and is just like, no, kind of. And Patty's like, he doesn't have to buy me stuff. My love language is physical touch.
It's physical touch.
Blah.
Stop.
Golf, girl. Patty. Get your
ass. End it. That man does not need to be. He's gone in trouble because of physical touch, IRL. So be serious. But we can wrap this up too. So later on, Kamala is having a conversation with her mentor about Johns Hopkins. Like, are you going? What's going on? Tell me. And Len is apparently feet, not even like 3 inches almost away from Kamala. But, you know, sets are small. So Kamala jumps under the table and she overhears Glenn talking to someone, and he said, baby, I'll get the money, don't worry, and I just need to work on Nirmala some more.
Yeah, she calls him darling. Mm-hmm. She wants to whisk him off to the beach, show me the money, I think is something that she said. You know, it's very much like giving you big energy of just, this is a scam artist. This man has come in to take advantage of your sweet granny. And so, of course, Kamala cannot focus on her professional life because she has to make sure that somebody's around to protect Patty. And, you know, and I'm just like, okay, fine. This is where you want to go? Let's do it. We're here.
Yeah. And then she does end up coming home and like trying to, again, have that conversation with them. But it's not working.
No, because we end up finding out here that, well, Lynn doesn't have to do anything to scam me out of money.
Yes.
Because Patsy's rich. The woman has invested in Apple.
Yep, Apple stock. When it was quarters. Can you imagine how much money?
Right. She's sitting there rich, rich. And I know she ain't offered to pay a damn bill.
She hasn't.
All this construction has been going on to the home. Nelly's probably putting in extra hours at work trying to make ends meet. And Patsy's just sitting there buying Lynn Tommy Bahama shirts.
And I love it because Nelly was like, well, why haven't you paid for groceries? That's how the rich stay rich, baby.
That part. You know what I'm saying? She's like, you never asked me to, so we're going to hold on to my money and stack up.
I couldn't breathe. Okay, I couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to fall over.
Yeah, she's just sitting there loaded. This woman is just rich and acting like it's normal. I can't stand that. Give me some money. You got money, yeah. I want it.
How much is one Apple stock worth right now?
I don't even know. You know, I try to disavow things I can never have.
Correct. One Apple stock right now is worth $195. One.
And she was buying them at a quarter.
Yes. I mean, it's gone down 85 cents, and it's been going down. I mean, the highest this month, this is today. I'm tripping. The highest today was 196. But anyway, the point is, this is ridiculous. Right,
yes.
She bought it at quarters, which, listen, conversion rate wise, rupees wise, is still a lot, but it's still cheaper than what it would have been, because now $1 is 80 rupees. So back then it was, I'm sure, much closer, the gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bottom line, though, is that she's right for the... Listen, if Lynn knows this, then there is reason to believe he could be trying to scam her. So I get why she's up, you know, why she's on edge about it. I just didn't expect this storyline to come from her. This is definitely a Davey storyline.
Yeah, it's like a little silly, oh my gosh, can't believe spying bullshit. Mm-hmm. But here we are. Then, you know, and we're trying to run interference with Patti, but Patti says, absolutely not. That's my man. That's my man.
Her man. Yeah.
Yes. And Len ends up proposing to Patti.
Which threw me the hell off. You know?
Yes.
I didn't know we had gotten that far. It feels very quick, fast.
Mm-hmm.
How long? I don't know. I don't have a long list,
you know?
Right, they're older, and maybe they just want to lock it in. And like again, mm-hmm. Lynn, as much you know, I'm Team Patti here, but yes. Lynn, as a city boy, sometimes you gotta secure the bag. And ooh. So I think that you know, you get this woman wants to spend money on you, lock her down. Go ahead and make the proposal. See what happens. It looks like it's gonna work out.
Is Patti a millionaire?
And she gotta be right. 25 cents a stock, and she was just buying them up. Like,
yeah, even if oh my god.
She paid. I'm just saying, Lynn, look, if you're scamming, this is where you start. This is definitely the move.
Correct. Okay. And you know, with rich people, it's like the way they do loans too is so confusing where they're just like, yeah, vibes only. We'll give you the money. Yeah. We know you're good for it.
Come on, Lynn. Like I said, I don't support him, but I do respect it. I respect the move.
I'm with you on that. And with all of this, it's ridiculous because Patti accepts the proposal. So we're going to have a wedding, if all of this goes through.
Which is good. I've learned a lot about Indian weddings dealing with you, Sasha. You've taught me so much. So at this point in the season, I was like, oh, bet we get in one of those. I did think it would be fascinating to see the meshing of cultures, but then I thought Sasha's like, you already lived this life,
because Len's Jewish,
right? Because Len is Jewish, and look, Sasha, basically this season was for you. It's correct. Bad that you didn't love it at first because they made this season for you.
When I saw, just spoiler alert, whatever, y'all know. When I saw the wedding, I could not stop laughing because they all have kippahs on, but then they're in the mandap, which is the Hindu like wedding altar thing. I could not stop laughing because I was like, oh, that's what happened in mine. Kind of.
I'll tell you, it was based off of your life story somehow in a weird way.
No, Indians and white Jewish men, like Indian women and white Jewish men is like a thing. It's called hashtag, if you look up hashtag Hindu, it's a real thing. And so many people I know are in this situation.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, look up hashtag BJ Novak.
Oh. Is BJ Novak Jewish?
I don't know, but I just thought that was so funny because it's Mindy Kaling.
No, I know. That's why I just needed to check.
I have no clue.
She posted his birthday wish, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. Yeah, yesterday. And just like being like, happy birthday, uncle. Say dad.
Say dad, say husband, you know.
Like,
that's
her
man, her man, her man. Stop it. No. Yeah, he is Jewish.
He is Jewish. Listen.
Ma'am, she's Mindy, not stop beating playing the in our faces. Right. She do, man, we see you. So this Ben thing, the Lynn thing, BJ, Ben, stop it. Stop playing with us, Mindy.
I just want to fight people. Also, BJ Nowak's dad ghost wrote memoirs for Nancy Reagan and Magic Johnson.
Oh, both of them got around. I know that much.
That's what I'm saying. I literally was like, and your son. Maybe that's why they named him BJ. We don't know. After talking to Nancy.
After talking to Miss Throat Goat. Gotcha.
Yeah. So yes, that like wraps up this storyline for now. Because even the next episode we don't really get too much of them. So yep, that is it for now. Okay. Then it is now time for Davey, right? She's in the blender. She has been for a while. And now Davey asks Fabiola, listen, let's not make this about me. And I will end the person that got into Princeton, but it's okay. It is okay.
The world should be afraid of Davy. Davy is a menace. She's our child, but we can call it. Like, everyone is afraid of this child because she says things like this and she means it. Because
they're all scared. Professor Warner does not want to tell her that Fabiola got into Princeton.
Miss Warner is the worst because she pushed this on Fab. Correct. Like, she did. And now every time something happens, she shows up like, ooh, Fabiola, is things hard here? Davy didn't take it well. Girl, you did this. This is your
fault. And you know, everyone from the world knows how Davy would have taken this. Mm-hmm. So y'all need to stop the bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Miss Warner tells Davy to try applying for backup schools and stuff like that. Davy not having it. She says apply for other Ivies, but she really telling Davy, just have other schools in mind. You should not have your heart set on Princeton to this point, right? To where, like, you're not even willing to entertain other options. Mm-hmm. But of course, this is Davy. So she's just gonna go do some sports. She's like, I gotta find something to do because this ain't it.
And I love that she's like, what sport requires no coordination? Because that's the one I got, girl. That's
the one she wants to do.
I'm tired luckily, of Davy.
She does know Paxton. And so
it's giving an Nepo baby, kind of. Right. Kind Nepo of. Friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. It's like, oh, yeah. I used to date the swim coach. So now I get to be like, Davy, that's not a good look.
Be embarrassed.
Be embarrassed.
She has zero embarrassing. I'm so tired of her. I'm tired. And of course, her friends are very stressed out because she's like, did you get into Yale? And Fabiola goes, no, I did not get into Yale, specifically Yale.
Right. Do you think she didn't get into Yale? Like, Fab didn't apply for Yale. You telling me she only applied for Princeton?
I bet you. So here's someone told me this. Was it you? No, someone else. That you can only do one early decision.
I mean, I don't know how they would know, but I'm sure that they could figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure the Ivy specifically must probably have a database.
Gotta be, because honestly, that would make sense. Because what does it look like for Fabiola to just be like? I'm very kind of Fab in this season because I think she's in a horrible spot. But it would just be weird for her to just go house the earlier decision spots for like four different schools, right? Like if she could get into Princeton, a school she's never been focused on before. She could probably get into Yale as well. And I doubt that they would just give her the number one spot in both of those positions. So maybe you're right. But again, why would you waste it on Princeton? Like, if you didn't really want to go there, don't you think you would go after your first choice?
I agree with you. And interesting. So because I looked this up and yeah, I'm right. You can only apply to one early decision college, which I find to be ridiculous. And if that college accepts you and offers enough financial aid, you must go to that college. And they usually refer to this as binding.
That's again,
actually crazy.
It's wild because we don't have Ivies here in the down south.
Yeah,
we
just
have
I wasn't thinking of no Ivies.
Well, we just don't have a lot of the options down here.
Yeah.
So it's not something that I would think about, honestly. But dear God, I mean, it makes sense because, again, if this early decision thing is such a big deal and it's so competitive that you go in and you can get a spot, it's like, yeah, Fabiola going in and securing this spot for Princeton, if you don't want to go, it's definitely not a good look to do early decision because people are going to be expecting you. Like, we gave the spot away, you know? Correct. There are no more spots. So yeah, very weird, but okay, that's fine. I guess I just wasn't understanding of that until now, because now it's making me look at the Fabiola decision even weird. It's making me look at her mom even weirder and Miss Warner.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Then I was like, why Princeton and not any other school? But maybe Princeton has the best robotics program.
Yeah, Akshara did make it sound like it was like
that. Yeah, well, that's her Akshara's job.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I don't know about the rest. That's why I'm confusion.
That's true. Well, he's like, Yale, you dropped the ball here. I guess I'll blame Yale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yale, you should have caught her quickly, but right. You didn't. It is what it is. Because we still going, and now Davy said, as long as I get a varsity letter on my application, I'm good. I'll be the equipment manager, and that's what Davy's gonna be now. Fabiola then tell Eleanor that she is the one who applied to Princeton and got in. Eleanor is like, please, God, why did you tell me this info?
She says, what have you done? Is that so weird? Isn't that a weird question to ask somebody to just tell you they got into college? And you're like, oh my God, why would you do that?
I think if Fabiola tells us that, we have that idea. We were like, Fab.
Yeah, like what? Where is this coming from? But okay, go
agree.
Off.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then of course, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying the Eleanor moment is weird because Eleanor's like, well, I just don't need y'all friends. Yeah, y'all be mad at each other right now. So you need to lie. She's like, just pretend like nothing happened and hope that Davy forgets. Who are you talking about? Davy forgets? You don't think Davy's just not going to notice that Fabiola is randomly going to Princeton?
The pettiest person you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's for once not a man. So be serious, everyone.
For once it's not Drake. Yeah.
How dare you? Oh my God. I don't understand this. And I'm just sad for all the girls involved here because y'all don't deserve this. This is ridiculous. I hate this writing. And I just don't think we need to compete with each other. But it is what it is. Fabiola's also so bummed out that when she's making out with Addison, they are like, hey, you're kind of bumming me out. And I thought I could cheer you up, but you're kind of basically sucking the life out of me.
And I had forgotten all about Addison. They haven't shown them at all. So I just forgot that was a thing. Like, I was like, oh, I forgot Fab was in a relationship. Who knew?
Exactly. Yeah. And I just love it because Addison is like, I don't talk to any of my high school friends. And Fab is like, no, I like them. I like both of my friends. It's just we're in a shitty situation right now. That's all. Mm-hmm. So Addison, shut the hell up. How dare you? Don't isolate your partner from their friends. I'm just kidding. And so, yeah, the point is Fabiola's really broken up about it. And I feel that she shouldn't be. She should just. It was just a shit situation. And I think she should have maybe been honest that she's applying.
Yeah, and that seems like that's one of Davy's issues with her, because mm-hmm. when they do confront each other, well, when Fab tries to have the normal conversation with Davy, Davy's just like, you could have just told me with words. But everybody and their mom wants to say, Davy, no one can tell you anything. You're crazy.
I agree.
Like, Miss Warner walks up like, ooh, trouble in paradise. Like, girl, you saw what just happened. You know we can't tell this girl nothing. What is wrong with you?
And you know why. You have been, like, Miss Warner has got the wrath. Who has not gotten her wrath? That's my question.
Right. Everybody knows. It's even, like I said, this is Miss Warner's fault. I'm sorry to put so much on this woman. But the thing is, Fabiola could have gotten away with it. Everything would have been fine. But Miss Warner's like, you know, I know you haven't told Davy, but you could really sneak off into the faculty parking lot to kind of have some barbecue. Oh
boy. Howdy.
Lady, leave this woman alone. Leave Fabiola alone. She's trying to navigate this with her crazy friend, and you about to go make her have a public lunch with barbecue with her name up in lights.
With her name. Imagine. Oh my God. Here's the thing. If it was just a barbecue, right, in the faculty parking lot, fine. Sure. But they're celebrating the shit out of their Ivy Leaguers, basically.
Yeah.
Be serious. And Fabiola, and here's the thing, we're not saying Fabiola doesn't deserve to be happy, because mm-hmm. she does, and she should be so proud of herself. But the point is, like, if she's struggling with it, then, like, we gotta let her be in it and figure this out.
Right. She ends up in the parking lot, and she's, you know, I think that the reason why I want to blame Miss Warner here is because, sure, Davy finds her way to the parking lot. There's a non-zero chance that that happens. But we also know Davy is investigating this. Davy wants Correct. To find this person and kill them. And so announcing to the entire school or to all the high-achieving students what school they're going to, and, you know, they put it up in lights on the marquee, but even just having it public knowledge that it's Fabiola
yes.
doesn't do any Davy any favors. Miss Warner, you know what's up. You do know what's up. I could come get some barbecue, but you didn't have to put me on blast.
And our barbecue sucked anyway. She said it started as an egg salad. Now it's coleslaw. Fabiola, what? You don't want to eat that anyway.
Mm-mm. No, I didn't like this. Again, I was annoyed at Miss Warner by now. And yeah, I was a little annoyed at Davy, but I was definitely more. Yeah.
Like, stupid.
You're the educator here. You gotta look out for the kid.
Agreed. And again, there's a way to say it, because Miss Warner was like, why don't you apply to like safety schools? And I was like, do you know this girl?
Right.
At this point, someone else should apply for her safety schools.
Mm-hmm.
Not her. Like, maybe call her mom and reach out to Melanie and be like, this.
Yes, exactly. Like, hey, Princeton might not be the move, but if you got her information, you could go in and just get some backups just in case. You know, Davy's still a kid. You still got time to go around her and do some, you know, some adult things for her if she's not ready. Know. Yeah.
Don't that you know. Did this. Put your own email.
Yeah. Look, you see us. You know, we some scammers. And so you see us
there are ways. I will let my child live their life, but God forbid I am not blocking all the bullshit without them knowing.
Right. Like, is there ways to do this? That's what I'm saying. I just didn't think Miss Warner gave Davy a fighting chance.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Fab, yeah. And the thing is, I think Nullin, and this is very real, at least for my family. No one knew college applications process. Like, we didn't know how it worked. We didn't really understand. We didn't even know you had to pay for it. And we didn't know you could apply to like multiple colleges, and blah, 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 you know, that you should tour them, you shouldn't take early classes, right? All that stuff, no idea. My stepdad like at least knew about FAFSA, but that's it. And I didn't have any guidance counselor in Broken Arrow, like being like, you're a straight A student, this is what you should be doing. So it is what it is, but thankfully my youth group like had enough scholarship, so I was fine. But so I understand that, like, if you haven't grown up in this country, college is horrendous. And now at least folks have, like, access of internet. But when we were, I mean, in 08, like, we were not on Google like that.
No, we didn't know nothing. And, I'm a first-gen college student, so I didn't know, you know, my mom, I'd asked them for help, but there was nothing. What do you do? I was like, you need to go to the military if you can't find a job, or if you're going to go to college. I'm like, well, I'm not doing those two things. I'm definitely going to go to college. That's how I made my decision. And I've, you know, over the last few years, been a consultant to help students, you know, especially, lower income students, at-risk students, to navigate the college process. But it's because people weren't like that around me when I was growing up. So it made me want to do that kind of stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. But again, I think Ms. Warner is tapped in enough to know that these are things that students are going to struggle with, and that maybe, you know, pushing Fabiola to do something that she really doesn't want, and even, you know, trying to reinforce this idea that, no, Fabiola, you should be happy like this. It's like, but Fabiola has other things that make her happy. You know, school is not the number one thing on her priority list right now. Her friends is, and sometimes you have to respect that.
And we know the internal monologue of even maybe going to Howard. And figuring out that piece of her identity. But I don't even think she has anyone in her life that can really guide her on that.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
So it's just, not yet. So it's just, it's really unfortunate how all of it is almost intersecting. But you know who is having a good day? Ben. Swagged out head to toe in Columbia. Drippy.
It was so his shoes, really. I was like, okay, Ben. But Ben drippy since day one.
Yeah, I think he got money. Yeah, I was like, he knows how to dress.
He got it. He do. I'm proud of him. It's like, you go, Ben.
Yeah, so Ben, of course, has gotten into Columbia, which, again, I think maybe dad helped. Who knows? But I'll let it be. And he's in. He's so excited. And he's like, Margo, you know, like, how's your day going? Blah, blah, blah. And Margo just, I feel like Ben is the type of person that you immediately have to give the, like, oh my God, you got in, right? No, but instead she's like, oh, do you have a different cologne on? What's going on? And she's like, dude, why? So I mismatched, right? They have a cute moment though. It's fine. And she just doesn't seem as enthused, even though he's having David Blaine come do magic.
At his home. You know, I don't know. This is a big day for him, and she's playing it so cool, which, like you said, it's a mismatch. These two people just aren't going to work out long term, and we're going to see it here. But I like Ben, because even in that moment, Ben, the most important thing that ever happened to Ben is happening right now. And Margo says, yeah, I can't celebrate with you because I have this art thing that could be big for me. And he immediately says, okay, well, I'll come to that. Look at him.
Yeah, I loved this from Ben, and I hated it for him because we know he has no other friends.
Yeah.
So what is he going to do? Not go. But of course, yeah, but it's just, it's a great character moment for him.
100%.
God, it's just, it's so wild. And of course, they decide that we're going to go to her art show. Now let's talk about this art show.
Talk about it.
Oh my God. At this exhibition, right? Ben is like with Margo. I think he's pretty excited and they're having a great moment. But of course, Margot, he goes to go get a drink. Margot butt dials Ben, and the owner of the gallery, I think, right, comes up, or some guy in charge, basically. And Margot's butt dialing Ben, and he overhears Margot's just kind of talk shit on him, or not talk shit, but go along with shit talking about him on his happiest day.
Yeah, she did the. It's a move where someone is assuming that you're with somebody and you try and downplay it, like, oh no, it's fine, like it's nothing, it's not serious, you know. And she did that, and like, again, this was such a good moment for Ben at first, because you even see when she butt dials him, he's excited to hear her talk about her art. He's like, I couldn't be in the area because obviously I was kind of cramping your style, but I'm ready to hear it. And then next thing you know, this K dude is just like, so what about that nerdy boy you're with? What about him? Right. And she's like, yeah, he's so annoying, blah, blah, blah. If I'm Ben, that's it. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. I'm sorry. That's the breakup. So I was happy to see that I didn't have to yell for him to stand up in this moment, because it was just like she was complaining about the things that make Ben Ben, you know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, he's high strung.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. This has been nothing new about him, number one. Secondly, he gave up a big thing for his celebration to come, you know, support you and be supportive of you. And third, I feel that Margot just moves a little funny. I think with her dad and, you know, and Davey, that whole situation, right, in the principal's office, I've just not felt right about Margot. And now I'm just like, again, she's a teenager too. It's not fair for me to be rude about her. She's a kid in this show. But it's just we don't need to be disrespectful about our partners.
Right. She about to fight Davey in the hallway over Ben.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now he's like, yeah, he's not cool. Da, 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 da. Like, you're really trying to impress this K dude. And like, maybe it's like because she feels like she could grow from this because he's, you know, tied to the gallery. Or maybe she just think he cute and she's trying to holler at him, or, you know, on the low. She's kind of flirting. She's like,
why not all?
Yeah. Right. Or both. Yeah. Like you said, maybe all of the above. But it's not a good move. I was very excited to see that he goes on and confronts her later on.
Yeah, and yeah, let's wrap this piece up as well. So he goes on to talk to her, and he explains to her, one, I overheard you. Two, I had to do magic for one, which is pathetic, and you made me do that, so it's over. And I don't think Margot almost knew what was happening. Like, no. I think Margot almost was just like, like hit by a bus.
She didn't know that he heard that. So she's so busy trying to process, like, wait, you heard my, like, what did you hear? And he's already moved on to, and we're breaking up. I think in a way she did get hit with a bus.
Yeah, because I don't think she like realized it. I do think that probably he's doing the, like, I don't want to piss this man off who's in power, who, you know, maybe can like make my art happen. So that's maybe what she was trying to do, but didn't work out. I'll just say that. And Ben, coast is clear. Okay. Ben is single again.
Yes. And you would think that we could move. Oh, Ben is single. Let's move on. But when Davey finds out later on, you see the wheels are already turning. She still has eyes for Ben. Sasha, at this point in the season, had you come to terms with the Ben and Davey? Are you accepting this as the one true pair of the season?
Yeah. At this point, I was like, this and then the next episode, I was like, got it.
Yep, here we are. Because we do get we open a door here, but on the next episode, I guess we do get some closure on another one.
Yeah. That's why I knew that it was happening. Horrible. I was so irritated because he's just been so. There's a difference between disrespect and just like idiocracy. I don't know. He's been so dumb when it comes to her, and I don't like it. It is what I think he has realized, that dating someone not like you can be hard, babe, because they're not gonna ride for you like this high strung queen will. That's true. What it is. But also, to just wrap up this episode, of course Davey finds out that Fabiola is going, and then Fabiola has this painful moment in class where she's talking about America needing friends and for sleepovers, but of course she's talking about her friendship, and she's just crying. And again, Davey's callous heart has been thawed, and she's like, I'm sorry, like, I didn't realize it was such a big deal. And they just have a really beautiful grown-up moment together.
They do. And it's funny because, yeah, Davey finally is like, okay, I see Fab up here struggling. I have to be the bigger person. Mm-hmm. But she got the nudge from Paxton. You know, Paxton, who now is a wise, mature individual,
yes,
tells Davey about this whole Fab situation. Because she's going to him thinking, like, let me complain to you about Fabiola. Mm-hmm. Can you believe she stole my spot? I can never get over this. What a betrayal. And Paxton says, so you think this is the first time someone's ruined someone else's college plans and they got over it? Davey's like, yeah, of course. And he said, remember that time you got me hit by a car? And then we dated?
I snorted when he said that because I was like, not receipts.
Right, but I mean, did we forget? You know, like you ruined everything for Paxton. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be on a swimming scholarship at a different school and ended up at a school he didn't even like, and now he's not in school at all. Davey, we could blame you for this.
Yeah.
And he got over it and y'all dated a lot. And so because of that, it's like, yeah, Davey, you kind of have to look at this too and say, is this worth losing my friendship with Fabiola? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it is.
It's not. And again, I think what's really hard as teenagers is to understand that you can be bummed and be happy for someone all at the same time. Mm-hmm. It is a very complex life we have to lead.
Right. And life humans. Goes on. It yeah. does. Yeah. This is not.
Or you get more. Left. That's the mm-hmm. worst. And you really don't want to be in that position where you've alienated so many people with, the, you know, with like ridiculous feelings that you're just now out on the side.
Mm-hmm. So that's how we get the makeup there. I think the last person Davey needs to talk to is, you know, Dr. Ryan, because mm-hmm. as long as Davey's going to therapy, I'm a happy guy. And she talks to Dr. Ryan about it. She does look like she's trying to give off the idea that she's at peace with all of yes. this. But it's very clear that, you know, she's still kind of bummed about it. And this is what you were talking about earlier. This is when we get the moment where we get the reveal about why Davey yep. wanted to go to Princeton, right?
Mm-hmm. This is when she says, you know, maybe your obsession with Princeton has stopped from, like, actually looking at what's really going on. And Davey ends up recalling being young, talking to her dad about colleges. And she said, well, I would like to go to Princess College. And he said, well, there is no Princess College, but Princeton is closed. And that is when Davey decided at like 8 years old that she wants to go to Princeton. And that's been her dream since. And her dad's not here. So that's like one of the last things she has to hold on to.
I can't lie, I rolled my eyes. I did.
Yeah.
Because I deal with students who would like to go to schools, you know, professionally just all the time for no reason, right? Mm-hmm. They like the color, they like the football team, they like the name of the school, they like the mascot, whatever the case may be, but they actually don't know the school, right? And they've been holding on to this ridiculous reason for mm-hmm. wanting to go to the school for years, and now it's ruining their lives that they can't even get to the school that they don't know anything about. And it bothered me that Davey does not know anything about Princeton. You know, Davey probably knows all the stats about Princeton, you know, what it yes. takes to get in, how many doctors they're graduating from there. She probably knows all that stuff. But to think that she only wanted to go here because one time her dad told her that that's a school that existed mm-hmm. and kind of sounds like Princess. It's like, yeah, you're about to ruin one of your friendships because of that. It does make me look at her like, oh yeah, Davey's still a kid and got some growing up to do. Not to say that she should not have sentimental reasons to go to Princeton.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've like basically geared your whole life toward Princeton based off of that conversation. She wanted to go to Princeton just that day, you know.
100%.
So it's not like Mohan died and that was like her way of getting, like, paying homage to her dad. No, she's always wanted to go to Princeton because of that moment. She's like, okay, Davey, mm-hmm. or maybe you should look at this as something that's more harmful than helpful.
And I think the problem is, has she said this out loud to a bunch of people?
Because somebody exactly. would roll their eyes too. Yeah. Yep. She'd be like, Davey, girl, grow up.
And I think her mom maybe could have, again, grief is hard. And grief, mm-hmm. I think, makes you do crazy stuff. And I think maybe her mom, you know, again, this is what I'm missing, right? Is that like someone talking to her about college mm-hmm. and like having a college counselor. I guess that's what Professor Warner is supposed to be, but that lady, sucks.
Yeah, that lady is not doing the things, man.
Yeah, like who is actually the the you know, Davies college counselor. And I think that's why I'm getting irritated with all of this. But it is what it is, I guess. And I just love that Davies says, I'm not going to be giving up on this dream anytime soon, though. And that's fine. I think that's okay. But just see the field and the flowers.
Right. Please. Don't let it ruin your life. It can be a dream, but it also doesn't have to be that dream right now in the exact way you want it to happen, you know, but it's just going to take a little bit more time to figure that out.
Agreed. And then Nalini, of course, they have finally their breakthrough moment because Davey explains what's going on. And Nalini says, I made you a chip salad. Honestly, Davey is me. That is
just chips.
Please. That is me. I love Davey. And Nalini claims, you know, that, listen, Princeton is stupid. They're stupid. And I loved that.
Yeah, because that's all Davey wanted. I said, Mom, I said they're doing something stupid and I don't like them. And you're supposed to say, yep, they suck.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. My mom would have definitely been like, yeah, they're stupid.
My mom, I would have had to tell her. I would have had the conversation. But I'm a lot more socially, I'm a lot more aware of than Davey. So when I come in the room, I'm like, listen, before I even start this sentence, I just need you to support me on this one, okay? I know I might be wrong, but I need you to hear me. My mom would literally go, okay. And then at that point, we're on the same page. Now, if I don't give her the disclaimer, she's going to be realistic with me. And sometimes I just don't want that.
Yep, 100%. I never want that, I don't think. So that wraps up the episode. We also get one bombshell from Eleanor that Eleanor is freaking going to graduate early and go to Juilliard and not go to any conservatory. Thank you, Juilliard. And just going to be a full-time actress.
Yeah. She wants to graduate early. She's just like, I'm done. Why am I here? I can't get into the school I want to get to. And no school's going to let me in. So finishing high school like this is not going to benefit me when I could be out here trying to build a resume and stuff. So she said 2 days, she's out of here.
Yep. It's very weird. Very weird.
Eleanor has an interesting path, I guess she's trying
Especially because what we've known about her mom, I just wish that this wouldn't have been Eleanor's future.
It's because I hate her mom so much. I'm so glad we'll talk about her in a minute, but it's coming.
Yeah, it's not yet, but it's coming. Yeah, I wished that Eleanor maybe got a job, you know, got like a straight up acting job. I just want like some success for her. Otherwise, we can see her just kind of getting lost in the sauce as like another aspiring actress in LA.
Yeah, if she had gotten a job that then required her to graduate early, I'd be like, okay, I can appreciate that. You know?
And that doesn't take away from her, I feel.
Right. This is like Eleanor is ready to set out on her own journey. What it really feels like is that they needed to get her out of the way.
Yeah, you're right. But she doesn't have any other shows, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I meant like just for the story, like they just were running out of room. It's like Anissa. It's just kind of like just popped up in this episode. It's like, why? You know, so I think they're just trying to get all the pieces into different spots so that they can move forward with the Davey storyline.
Yeah, and Manish, gone.com.
Gone.com.
Where is he? But that is where we end this episode. The next episode is shorter to discuss, I feel. Gigi Hadid is back, baby. So exciting. So we knew this was going to be all about Paxton. So we get a lot of like Paxton wanting to find his way, I feel. And there's different mediums almost of showing that, right? Like Lindsay Thompson is like, hey, I need help with the potluck. Everyone couldn't be less interested except Professor Shapiro, of course. Like Mr. Shapiro drives me crazy, but here we are. And they have to cook Luxembourg dishes. So Paxton is like, no, I'm still the coolest kid in school. I don't want to deal with this. So he still kind of lets it be. And then he is still going to party, Chappelle. And I'm in hell.
Yeah, this sucks. Because you're like, I'm yelling at the screen, Paxton, grow up. You can't do this no more. The moment you took the job as a teacher, first of all, the moment you crossed the stage, you really had to watch the way you act around these kids. Because once you turn 18, you're illegal. And so if you are at a party and something goes down and the cops feel like it was you who was involved, like you're going to jail, baby. And so you have to grow up. He doesn't, though. He's so busy still trying to hold on to whatever little bit of identity he has from high school that he's just letting the world happen around him. Like, he ends up partying with the high school kids, to the point where it's very obvious that he's still got some growing up to do.
Yeah, 100%. And we see that, right? Because, again, Miss Thompson is trying to get him to participate. Then she says, listen, we also have a hotline. Would you like to come to that? He's not. I can't be part of the helpline. Because Mr. Shapiro, again, is the only one helping. And he's the one getting the help by teenagers. You love to see it.
Yeah. Paxton ends up, he's supposed to be volunteering for this helpline, but because of that, he ends up having a huge ass party at his house. The people are literally calling the helpline to get rides home from Paxton's house. And Ms. Thompson is the one who has to pull up. If I'm Paxton, I don't know how he showed up to work the next day.
That's what I'm saying. It would be a sick day. But I think he, again, in his mind, right? Because Davey's like, Paxton, like, how did you not invite me to the coolest party? And he's like, I didn't host it. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm, you know, you could tell he's just being swept up in the mess. But at some point, and that's the point of this episode, but at some point he has to, like, grow up, right? Or pick a side then. Like, maybe then you can't work at your high school.
Mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't work at a school. If you're partying with teenagers, right, you need to go do something else, Paxton. And it makes sense. I mean, he's 18, probably 19, maybe.
I think 19.
But, yeah, he's 19. Yeah, I think he's 19. He's 19. So he is in a tight spot where his friends are probably 18, 17. Mm-hmm. They're all around the same age range. Trent still goes there, and him and Paxton probably the exact same age. And so he wants to hang out with his peer group, but this is going to interfere with work, and he's not mature enough to make those decisions. And he has other big decisions to make too. And so this is going to be like the first one, like coming to terms with being an adult. It's probably the first step to moving forward and having like a real life after high school.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's like one side of it. And then once he gets caught by Miss Thompson, right, he's like, shit, I'm going to try harder this time at school. So, you know, he's like, great, I'm going to try harder, but I don't think he's so fully got it yet. Then we have him. And this is what I mean when I say I'm feeling better about Eric's storyline. So I believe Eric's storyline, or Eric rather, was only there to serve as a plot line for Paxton. Yeah. Because at first I was like, oh, why is Eric getting so much screen time when we have Anissa? We have all these characters, right, that are just kind of left. Kamala, right? Like, all these people are kind of just left. But I realized Eric wants to be on the swim team really bad. He tries every year and he fails every year, not even, you know, JV. So finally, he almost bullies Paxton into being his coach and says, you know, help me out. Like, what do you need to do? I don't even think he offers him money, but it's fine.
And no, he offered him Rosalia.
Yes. Yeah.
She said, he said it was her idea.
You're right. Which, you know, sure.
Probably.
Yeah. And I just loved that because Eric's also like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Paxton says, you shouldn't talk about girls like that. Like, don't do that. Stop. So it's just, he's so grown up in so many ways. And then in other ways, I'm like, you're just having, which is the name of the episode, an identity crisis. So I think he's struggling. So at first he's very apprehensive. He's like, fine, I'll give you some tips, Eric, and let's move on. But then I think Eric decides, I'm so disappointed, but I'm never gonna give up. And that's when I think that is for a monologue that is needed for Paxton to hear. So Eric says, listen, I'm not gonna give up, because why? It's more fun to say that I kept trying instead of just letting things go. It's something I've wanted to do for all this while. Nothing's gonna get in my way, and I'm gonna make it happen. Meanwhile, Paxton's getting ASU texts all episode, ASU messages or emails about second semester. So I think this finally serves as like that tipping point for Paxton to be like, I need to get my shit together, because even Eric doesn't want to give up on something. So why am I? And that's why I think I was like, okay, I'll allow this storyline.
Right. Eric doesn't want to give up on something that's very obviously not for Eric, right? Mm-hmm. Eric wants to be on a swim team and he cannot swim. I'm going to be very clear. This man is not a strong swimmer at all. He's not, he can barely swim to save his life. He almost drowned several times.
Noodle.
Right. And he just wants to win. He wants to be in a swim team. So it's like, not only does he have to learn to swim, he has to learn to swim well enough to impress people to put him on the team. It's like, Paxton, you went to college and it wasn't easy and you came back. You gave up. You didn't try. You didn't give it like as much effort as Eric's putting in just so he can be on the high school JV alternate team. And you were in college and gave nothing and came back and you gave up. And so, he needed Eric. I don't know if we like it was a it felt like it was a storyline dedicated to Eric and Paxton alone, which it's fine because it works. But at the same time, it's just like it's a lot of time spent with Eric. You know, learning Eric's goals and figuring it out, but it's just a vehicle to show us and to show Paxton that you have to move forward. You can't just get stagnant. You can't give up just because things aren't going your way. And you might not be the same as you were in high school, and that's okay.
Yep. I think this is all just a big ploy for Paxton to get his shit together. And even though, you know, Paxton let out all his frustrations, like, go to robotics and play the tuba. Why are you worried about this? Nope, I'm not going to do it. So, yeah, I agree. I think it was just like Paxton needed a mirror and he got one. I feel like that's all it was. And with that, then Paxton's, I think, like, on a little bit of a high, right, of like understanding that Eric has finally learned how to swim. Like, we get a little montage of Eric learning, Paxton being like, I'm gonna now swim with you too, blah blah blah. We get a montage and he's excited, and of course Davey's right there as equipment manager, so he gets to share with Davey his new project and how well that's going, which feels great. And Davey says, great, let's help sort these supplies in the storage room that we know is broken. And I said, not that teenage trope. I loved it. It's so silly.
It is. They end up in the storage room, the equipment room or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they you know, they have to wait for somebody to come save them because magically two teenagers don't have their cell phones. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, magically. The first time that's ever happened where two teenagers have been in a room without a cell phone. And so, yeah, they're waiting on the coach to show up. But in the meantime, they do talk. And this is where Davey and Paxton, and this is one of the few conversations we see them having. It's kind of like a one-on-one where they really bond anymore. Because we used to see that a little bit more back then. But now it's like, it's kind of different now, right? And he tells Davey that he actually left ASU because he felt like everybody was treating him like a loser. And, you know, he's so used to being hot and likable and well-liked that it just made him upset and he didn't really know how to deal with it. And then that's when Davey reveals that, you know, she also had to kind of course correct because she thought she was going to be one way as a senior. And now she's a completely different person. And also that she bangs now. So that's
the
thing.
Yeah, she's a sexually active. And he could not believe. I think he almost fell over.
Yeah. Well, first he was happy for her. Like, oh, with that Ethan chick. Wow. Like, he was impressed. And he's like, with Ben? And then you know, like, everybody else, he almost died.
Yeah, he's like, Ben? Little Ben? What?
Right.
And I loved it because it's so he already told her to stop being desperate about Princeton. He said, you're thirsty, you're making too many calls, like, stop bothering Akshara. And then he's like, but you fuck. Oh, okay, I don't understand this girl. And Davey, they're both joking, but then Davey says she thought she'd lose her virginity to Paxton. And this is when we get that callback of like, yeah, I mean, that time you like asked me to have sex with you
and I didn't even know you.
Yeah.
And his response her response is, well, you said yes, so don't judge me. And I was like, well, point to mate,
got you there. And it's hilarious because then they're going back and forth, and I feel like we know what's coming because they're like now punching each other in the arm and all this stuff. And Paxton goes, no, we're not equal, because Davey says, I finally feel like we're equal because when you broke up with me, you said you can't be with me until I love myself, and now I do, so I get it. And he's like, oh, harsh. But then he says, I think you're too good for me. It's not that we're equals. And boy, howdy. That is when they kissed.
That's it. They kiss it. And for a split second, I thought, oh, this is bad. This is bad. He's learned nothing. He's learned nothing. We just told him he needs to grow up. He's not the same as these kids. He's learned nothing. But the coach walks in. And the coach breaks it up before it gets too physical. And he tells him the same thing. Paxton, you are grown. I understand that you and Davey dated. I understand it. It was just last year. But that ain't you no more. You can leave and this won't be an issue. Not really.
Correct.
But if you stay here, you have to be a grown-up.
And get your shit together. Like, last and final warning. First and last warning. Yeah. And I love that when Davey and Ben, not Ben, oh my God, Davey and Paxton do have their final moment of conversation about, that thing yesterday. They both, I feel like Davey first more than Paxton, but Davey's like, yeah, we can't do that again, huh? And Paxton's like, no, I don't think so. But it didn't feel like Paxton was closing the door on them, but Davey very much was like, no, that felt like closure. Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
I needed that. I needed to be done with that. That felt like closure. I think maybe it's that sentence that he said, like, you're too good for me. You know, like, there are bigger things out here than you dating the the high school swim coach who's never going to leave here. I think I'm chilling here right now.
Yeah.
You want to go off to Princeton? Why? You shouldn't be concerned with me right now. And I think Davey's like, you know what? You're right. You know, if she wants to be concerned with him, yes, she definitely could, but she has options. And so she said this was closure. And now they're in an official student-faculty relationship. And this is the end. This is the end of the storyline that brought us all here. This is the end of the will they won't they between Davey and Paxton. Six episodes in. We still have seven episodes in. We still got three more left.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. But of course, when they're doing a little final moment of closure, none other. The Mr. Columbia walks up, of course, and immediately he's like, isn't it cultural appropriation to be wearing a piñata? Well, shouldn't you be dressed like Tiny Tony Soprano? Back at it again.
Uh-huh. And the whole time Pax is sitting there like, of course it's Ben. It's always been Ben. You know, he knows. He know the game. Ben know the game too. Ben know it was his only competition has ever really been Paxton. And Paxton has known for some weird reason his only competition has ever been Ben. And now Paxton can get out of the way and let Ben and Davey do their thing. But Davey still doesn't see it. Paxton looking right at it like, you don't. Okay, well, bye.
He's like, you know what is vibes? You this. Two right here. And Davey's like, no, we're friends. But do you really think that, you know, Davey actually wanted to be like, but actually, what do you think?
Like, for real? Yeah. I guess you think he's feeling? Yeah.
So I loved it. And yeah. And so that, I think, finally replants the seed for Davey. And Davey's going to start fucking pining for Ben again. Kill me. And Paxton is done. Paxton says, he actually ends up then going to the potluck. He brings a dish from Luxembourg. And then he says, I'm going to help with the student hotline, which now he realizes he's now a popular teacher because all the teachers say, well, if Regina George is doing it. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
If Paxton's doing it, I'm going to do it. And now he decides he's going to make friends with adults.
Yeah. And Ms. Thompson's even looking at him like he's a grown up, which at that point, I'm like, all right, well, we see where that's going to.
Right. Like, come on. Let's do it. Fine. I'm just glad he's not alone. But I mean, a Paxton type will never be alone.
Right. And he will always have Trent. Trent ain't going nowhere.
Correct.
He ride or die.
And Trent's single. So they both can be single city boys together. Just go somewhere else. Go to a club.
That's the year to do it. I'm telling you, Paxton, why are you trying to get wifed up so easily anyway? Trent?
Because it's Davey. Davey's had them in a blender for years.
Yeah, but Trent, the streets is hot out here, bro. I mean, don't get me wrong. It gets too hot in the streets eventually. You're going to get tired, but,
correct.
You know, proposing
not yet.
When you're in
that's
high
for
school,
your 30s. School
early. Yeah, you got time. Go be in the streets. Go hang 100%. Some D, as he calls it.
Oh, my God. I love it. And with that, Chappelle, anything else from Never Have I Ever?
Nope. That's it for season four, episode 6 and 7. And so we still got 8, 9, and 10.
We have two more episodes left.
Two more podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do 8 and 9, and then we'll finish off with the finale. And and then Sasha,
we'll be on Below Deck.
We're all on Below Deck, man. We're like, again, y'all, join us for the charter. We're talking about Below Deck. Even if you've never seen the show, come check us out on YouTube and on Rob Has a Podcast, because we're going to be having a great time talking about it. Sasha, this has been so much fun.
Yes, thank you again, of course, as always. And where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter or on Instagram. On Twitter, I'm at Chappelle's_show. At Instagram, I'm on at ChappelleTNT. And I will be talking about all the shows that I be talking about. So on post-show recaps, Ariel and I are still talking about Grey's Anatomy. So you can check that out on the post-show recaps podcast feed. Then over on the Rob Has a Podcast feed, obviously you and I are still talking about Below Deck. I'll be joining Rob and Taryn and Melissa to talk about the premiere of Big Brother this week, Big Brother 25. I'll be joining them for the recap. So check that out Wednesday night. Or if you haven't caught that already, if you've just not listened to this, then yeah, check it out. It was a good time, I'm sure. And then you can catch Mari and I on Post Show Recast talking about Rap Shit, season two of Rap Shit. Woo-hoo. Yeah, it's a ratchet mess, y'all. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to convince Sasha to watch it. We're going to move it up her watch list, y'all. It's a good time. It's so ridiculous. But Mari and I will be on the Connect on PSR talking about that. Hopefully LaTanya can join us at some point. Then maybe we could even get Sasha on as a guest in the future. We'll see. And so check that out over there. And then, of course, on Nothing But Netflix on the Rob Has a Podcast Network, Rob and I are still talking about Netflix shows. Mari joined us this week to talk about Deepfake Love. It was a good time, a ridiculous show about AI convincing you that your significant other is cheating. And you have to determine if they're really cheating or if it's just AI. Spoiler alert, sometimes they really just be cheating. So catch a glimpse of that, and then also check us out on Nothing But Netflix to find out what we're talking about this week coming up. But that's about it, Sasha. What about you?
Perfect. And you can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04. And yeah, I'm obviously covering Mess Magnet, pop culture, celebrity gossip, hot topics. We're covering it. Jason Reed and I just wrapped up Secret Invasion over on Post Show Recaps, and we're going to be starting Lioness, Special Ops Lioness is what it's called. Lots of trigger warnings before you watch, but check that out. And yeah, I'm sure I've done other stuff. I can't remember. But with that, thank you everyone for listening. Hope you have a good night or day, whatever you're listening. Bye.